Fantastic. So here we are, live on the internet. Thank you all to those who participate over the internet through BBS Radio. We have a bunch of people here on the conference call, and we are waiting for more people to join in. We're still 4 minutes away from the hour. Thank you so much.
Our BBS guy sounded too young to have grown up watching Fat Albert cartoons.
Good evening and welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Lisa, San Francisco.
Hi, Lisa. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm great. How are you?
Good. Thanks for being here. And welcome the next person. Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Don from Brexel. Hi, how are you, everybody?
Hi, Don. Welcome to the call.
Thanks.
And we had somebody else come in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location. If
Hi,
you want to.
Kim in Florida. How you doing?
Is it Kim?
It is.
Yeah, hi, Kim. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Hi, how are you?
All right. Thank you for being here.
Kim, you're the only person I know that has a last name that sounds like a luxury car.
Savoy?
Savoy. Right.
Or Savoy. That sounds more luxury.
This is Savoy out. It's like, or it could be a cool club where music is and call it the Savoy.
Hey, there you go. 1940s.
Hey, Wynn?
Yes?
Hi, this is Don. You know those Jane Roberts Seth books?
Yes.
Do you know who she's supposedly channeling or books?
Well, all I know is one day I was in L.A. in Terry's little apartment. Where was it? No, it was in, I forget where it was. And I was in the bathroom, and I was reading a Seth book, okay?
Uh-huh.
And I came out of the bathroom, and I told Terry I was reading Seth, and she said, "Oh, is that what that is? He wants to talk to you." And so we had a conversation.
Uh-huh.
And go ahead, Heis.
All right. And welcome to the next caller. Please say your name and location.
Good evening, everybody. Joel in Chicago.
Hi, Joel. Welcome to the call.
Hi, caller. Thank you.
Did that predate your contact with the Elohim and that?
Lynn,
did you hear the question?
Thank you, God.
Oh.
Lynn's not
very, very good questions, by the way.
It's interesting that Seth came through Terry.
Yeah.
Wow.
That makes me think it would be related to the Rar Elohim.
That's an excellent question. I'd like to know the answer to that. What was the source for the Seth books?
Well, he just said his name was Seth. I read a few of those.
Yeah, they're very intriguing.
They're interesting books.
Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
This is Mac from Utah.
Hey, Mac. Good evening. Welcome to the call.
Thanks so much.
All right. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location. If you want to, we welcome you. And in the meantime, it's 2 o'clock. Wynn is here. Terry is still...
Terry is just dialing in.
All right, great. And here we have another person joining in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Yes, hello. This is John from Aspen, Colorado.
Hi, John. Welcome to the call.
Thanks.
And here, somebody else joined in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Terry.
Hi, Terry. Good evening. Welcome to the call.
Hi, Terry.
Hi.
Hi, Terry.
Hello.
Is Dave Fitzgerald on the line?
No.
Not that I know of.
Who?
Well,
tell you what, let me...
I welcome this person who just joined in. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
David, Tennessee.
Hi, David. Welcome to the call.
Hi, David.
Hello.
There's another person joined in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Roger in Austin.
Hi, Roger. Good evening. Welcome to the call.
Good evening.
Hi, Roger.
Hi.
Hi, Roger.
Hello.
Do you notice how the women love these guys with Southern accents? Hi.
I even noticed that way up here in Wisconsin.
You do. Now, you notice the difference with the Wisconsin accent?
They all sound beautiful, man.
Who was that in Wisconsin?
Don.
Don, okay. Let me see here. 602. Let me start the recording. We don't have a lot of background noise. I'll let you
Ben,
guys...
can you answer the Seth that we were talking about? Is it from the Rock Group?
No, they said Seth was an individual high entity, very high, but not part of a group soul.
Did you record it?
I recorded it somewhere in there.
All right. But,
I mean,
how did that really time-wise to your Elohim contacts and things?
Oh, that was. We were already having all these contacts. Uh-huh. That was just because I was in the bathroom reading the Seth book, okay?
Okay, we still have time to welcome this person. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Jeannie from Citrus Heights.
Hi, Jeannie. Welcome to the call.
Pardon me?
Hi, Jeannie.
Hi.
We welcome you all, Jeannie.
Thank you.
All right.
I mean, we had Ramtha. You know who Ramtha is?
Yep.
Ramtha is probably one of the most famous channel voices, who is channeled by Jay-Z Knight.
Oh, right.
Who got very famous. She was in a movie called What the Bleep. And we had Ramtha come through Daphne a few times. And I think we did a session. One time with Ramtha Live, and Ramtha was at least supposedly part of the Rock Group, okay? But, you know, hang on, let me just start the recording.
This conference is being recorded.
Welcome, everybody. This is June 10th, 2013. All of you who are listening on BBS, all of you who are listening live, and all of you who are listening to the replays, we know you're there. And welcome to the world of interdimensional communication. And I'm just curious, we still have everybody live on the line. Have any of you understood how it feels to feel these sources? Have any of you have an experience, I'm sure you have, of the subtlety of how it is when they connect with you?
Yes, I have.
I have.
It's very subtle.
I had it particularly yesterday during the channeling when they said that you could do your prayer, kind of. They were looking at everybody, and I was kind of felt a very big energy.
Mm-hmm.
I have.
Who was the lady that said I have?
It's Teresa.
Teresa. Oh, we know you have that experience.
Ron.
Ron in Missouri.
Yes, I have.
How does it feel to you?
Well, the first time it was absolutely great. It was like I was coming home. But then it did what it usually does, and it goes back into my background, and I don't realize that I'm making that contact, but I still am.
Mm-hmm.
And I would love for it to be more into the front, but I know I'm in that contact, and that's comforting.
Now, Ron, can I tell everyone your religion?
Sure.
You know, Ron happens to be a Mormon, and it's been my experience, Mormons, and I've said it in a session we did, that supposedly the Elohim created the Mormons with the idea of bringing a lot of Elohim souls into this realm to lift the vibration here. And so people that are Mormons that have, especially not converted Mormons, but people who have a lineage in the Mormons, you know, they go back grandfathers and great-grandfathers, and when they come into our cult, as long as they don't have a preconception in their mind, they are so sensitive to the Elohim energy. And part of the reason that the Mormons... I hear a nice cat there. Is that a Mormon cat? You know, like, the kind of relationship that we're doing is really, I think, I'm just thinking this, that is what they hope the Mormons would do. And the Mormons are very strong. And if you ever go to, when I was exploring all this, I went to a few, probably 10 Mormon services, trying to make myself believe that this was real, because it was so out there. And literally, I could feel the energy so strong in the room of the Elohim. And Mormons don't know what I just told you, as far as I know. But in their scriptures, they do say, when you leave this planet, you'll end up doing star systems and galaxies. And this is like a temporary thing here, which would be something you would say to an Elohim soul that was in this realm. And, of course, once anyone is in this realm, this is not to exalt Mormons, because once we know, once anyone is in this realm, even if they're an Elohim soul, they lose connection with a higher realm. It's very hard to make the connection. And even when you make it, it's really subtle. And anyone else want to share how they experience the connection?
I do.
Who is that?
Marilyn.
Marilyn. Go ahead, Marilyn.
I feel something on the top of my head, like my crown chakra, like a little touching that's very subtle.
Mm-hmm. Now, thank you for sharing. Anyone else want to share?
Michael?
Hi, Michael. Go ahead.
I often felt the same thing she did. I thought maybe it was the Kundalini night. But at the same time, I thought maybe it's the feathered serpent of the Aztecs. But moreover, when I came onto your site and I was listening, I would go into zoning out every time and then wake up towards the end of the service. Subsequently, I thought I was missing something. And thankfully, they actually explained it when you asked about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt 100% better. And I encourage those who are feeling these things to stay with it, because it can give you the ability of being with others without even being on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
Just thinking of them, and be comfortable to know that their feelings as well as their thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just overwhelmingly beautiful. I can't think of any church that ever walked away from that would say had that much, even close to it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, in such a short time, I give you credit, and of course the Elohim and the Ra and the Ron for achieving this. You know.
Mhm. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else want to share?
I could add my two cents. This is Don up in Wisconsin. And one of the things I find on the, at least the calls and the overall energy, isn't 100% to my feeling from the Raw group. It's from the other people on the line, too. It's sensing mm-hmm. a community where it's other people that are open and exploring and looking. And I know from my personal experience in history, it's like from the age of 4 or 5, whenever I was first, like, I had to go to a church school, and I had questions they couldn't answer. At the age of 5, I decided church probably wouldn't be for me. And later, when I was about 6th or 7th grade, I went through church school again when I was older, and the same thing happened. I've never felt that... I went through a period of questioning, so I considered myself, when I was a young person, as first an atheist, and then I worked kind of through that. And then I became more of an agnostic, and then because I kept an open mind and kept reading other material, Edgar Cayce material probably chiefly, it brought me back to believing that the Bible is probably true to some degree, but I've still never felt comfortable with the dogma of the church. In my personal feeling and my personal search, I think they got it wrong. It's like not that they're teaching 100% false things, but I just feel they got it wrong. And it's more of a control thing than a opening up your spirit thing. And I find that here.
Right. Thank you. It's kind of like a belief pattern. Believe in this. And as if you believe in it, it would be real. And not necessarily generating an experience. Is Terry here?
Terry's muted.
Terry?
I'm muted. Terry, you're muted now.
Hello?
So, Terry, everyone is talking about how it feels to connect with the Elohim. And I thought I would ask you, how does it feel to connect with us humans?
I don't know. Pretty strange.
I second that.
How does it feel to Terry to connect with the Elohim when you're channeling? Was that like...
They connect around my crown chakra in a circle around my head, and I know they're there, and it's like they're locked in. And they have a slight pressure around that area, and the intelligence comes down through my crown chakra.
Do you have to do anything, like try to change your vibration frequency or anything? Do you have to like, do anything to...
They connect around my crown chakra in a circle around my head. And,
hey,
how come
we're
like
hearing an
echo
of me?
In. And they have a slight pressure
the,
around that area. And,
can you cut that echo out?
The intelligence comes
no.
down
so.
through my crown chakra.
Because I wanted to say some more.
Do anything like
Are you having an echo, Terry? Are you
Somebody's got BBS on and it's playing through the telephone.
Can
somebody mute that line?
I think we just did it. There we go.
Okay, great.
And, okay.
Yeah. Sometimes, like, it'll be, like, when I'll be talking and I think I'm sleeping. And then he'll say, hey, Terry, what do you think of what I said? And it's like I think, well, I don't think I really got it. I wasn't paying attention. Then he will say, okay, never mind, we'll just ask them. And so then we do the channeling, and he does the invocation, and then he asks them, what do you think about what I was talking about? And they have a whole lot to say, and very pertinent.
They were paying attention even though you weren't, right?
Right. It's like I start to go into a trance before, you know, earlier on in the calls.
Mm-hmm. Can you still hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh. What's like going into a trance like? I mean, is it just like going to sleep for you? Or?
Well, it's like if I... Like there's them and there's me, and me, when both of us are present, I'm trying very, very hard to be invisible, trying very hard to not put any thoughts of my own into the mix, because sometimes we get in a situation where we'll be looking at another part of your, like, remote viewing, and they'll be totally in control of the location and everything, and I'm along for the ride, but I'm trying not to let anything of mine get into the mix. So I do presets to set aside anything that I might have going on that might get into the channeling.
Jerry, do you really think the Elohim loves Dr. Marshall?
Well, people are asking questions in about Earth realm body problems.
Yeah.
And like it's like they feel like he's got a handle on it more than
mm-hmm.
a lot of other people.
Mhm. Well, I mean, I think it's good because the people that we've recommended always have. I haven't heard any bad comments, and I've heard positive comments.
Right.
If anyone's listening that has used Dr. Marshall, please send me your comments, because I just go on faith that it's okay, and it seems to be. Because people, when they're having health issues, it's really tough. And, you know, if we were actually doing health issues live, we could put our whole project in jeopardy because you're not allowed to do it. It's illegal. So I'm not sure Edgar Casey could do what he did now and get away with it. Okay. Oh, there we go. There's someone else listening to me on VBS. Hang on. Hello. Good work.
Got it, Vin.
Now, great. Hey, I'm going to tell you guys my favorite story of the week. And this is something that you can all do, okay, and let me know how it works out, all right? Maybe before I do that, I'll share with you how I experience this. And what I experience is as if my consciousness moves in and out. It's flickering. And on one side of the flicker is my human side. Now, I can feel the energy. There's energy that comes in from the top of my head, and I can feel all those things. But when I focus on it, there's a flicker. And my human side is on one side of the flicker, and the universe is on the other side. And I'm flickering back and forth all the time. And when I go look at it, when I look at the universe side of the flicker, it's kind of like I can feel a presence with me. And I think the presence is, the Ra group is closer to me. And I probably have a long history of being a Ra wanderer. But I can feel what feels like the Elohim as well. And I know I have to be holding the energy, because it can't be an accident that I can hold the space and then somebody can channel as a result of it. And, you know, the explanation for that. So now I'm going to tell you my favorite story of the week, and I'm going to mute everybody. And thank you all for sharing. And I think it's really good when you share, because there's always new people listening, or sometimes there's new people. Sooner or later, there's going to be lots of new people. And it's like people come into this, and they say, what's this? What's that? The most important aspect of this work is how you, meaning the collective you who are listening, can internalize it and cause something to shift in a way that makes your life better, that makes you feel connected. It gives you the courage to have no fear of leaving this realm. It gives you the ability to look at another person and see through their frailties and see that expression of divine that they are. That's a big one, because each of us has our wall up of how we like to be seen, how we want to impress people, and we see people through their walls. And to be able to start to look at people and feel who they are underneath, however they appear to be. Because nobody is how they appear to be. Nobody. It's just the Shakespeare, all the world's stage. But my favorite story of the week is from Dave Fitzgerald, who lives in Margate, New Jersey. And Margate is next to Atlantic City. And when I was in Philadelphia, Atlantic City was our vacation of choice for my family. Well, David went into a casino in Atlantic City, and I believe he called in the light, and then he went over to play video poker, and he won $10,000. And so he called me and says, I'm sending you some money, Wynn. So, you know what? If you guys live near a casino, I want to hear how this works. Go in and say, okay, if I win, I'm sending Intelligent Infinity some money, and see if that raises your odds at all. Maybe it won't. Don't spend too much money. We did have one other situation. I mean, I think there's more situations like that I don't hear about. I know, but one in particular was a lady, Gina, who lived in Hawaii, and she had a house on the market for 3 years, and no one even came to look at it. And she put the house in the light and the sale of it, and she had three people come the following week going into a bidding war on it, and she ended up selling it for more than her asking price. And then she sent us a bunch of money. So try it out. Just tell people you're going to send us money if you win or if it works. And then if it works, just make sure you follow through. But not, you know, not too much money. Don't take a big risk, but see. Terry? Are you there, Terry?
I'm here. Yes.
Maybe we should we go to Las Vegas?
I'll go to Las Vegas with you, but I don't promise anything.
You don't promise anything?
No.
All right. You know, when this all first started, those of you who remember in our Elohim book, and we had no money, And they had just predicted a newspaper headline in advance. And so I asked them, could you guys help with the horse races so we can make some money? And they said they wouldn't. They said it would send me back into patterns of previous lifetimes. And actually, I really understand why they wouldn't do it. I think it's okay if it's like a synchronicity or you're using your intuitions and you get some help. But for them to tell you, go bet on this horse and then go bet on that horse, you know, everything that happens becomes part of your history. And then you talk about that, and everybody is going to want to know, help me with the horse races. So I understand why they didn't do it. And let's go with the topic for tonight. We have here 627. We have a good 20 minutes, maybe 25 or 27. And Terry, we're going to continue the topic of last week. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready for that?
No.
No? Why did I know you would say it? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we're never ready, but it just does seem to work out, okay?
Okay.
Let me see here. I'm just looking at the emails before we start. Let me see if there's anything good to look at. That's somebody, Nelda is saying she's getting around to reading my book. And Rosalie is saying, I know, yeah. By the way, in that email, I don't know if you guys saw it, I have a link to this Canadian defense minister who knows that ETs are real and announced it to the Canadian Parliament. And he also announced about negative cabal secret societies. I mean, it was quite amazing to hear that from a reputable guy. So check it out. Now, here's somebody in the Ukraine. This is one of those cons. This is somebody took over somebody's email, and it's telling me they're in the Ukraine, and they need to borrow $2,000 so they can sort out their hotel bills and get back home. Sorry, I don't believe you. All right. So let's go on. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here. And any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. And we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources present?
We are present. This is Ra'on. And this is the 10th of June, 2013. Can we take a minute and get oriented and situated here? And we connect with the audience, either now or in the future. Do you have questions?
We're we're going to resume some more of those questions about how the universe was created. And a lot of people have emailed me, and I don't quite grasp this. Maybe if we can get some clarification. The idea of spinningness, we've talked about this a number of times. Let me say how I'm trying to understand spinningness. You have an individual energy unit, which is an Elohim unit. And that Elohim unit can spin energy, and they can decide the frequency that they spin the energy. And first of all, is that somewhat of an understanding of spinningness?
Is it possible, to spin energy? Like a child can spin a top, an individual being, energy unit can spin energy, and can do it to various specifications and geometrical formations. Actually, geometrical formations can be created by different spinningnesses and intersection of spinningnesses of energy. And the spinningness focuses the energy of the one infinite creator, the being, in the localized area, allowing focus of intelligence and consciousness and awareness.
Mm-hmm. Now, if you have two Elohim spinning energies, do they get together and decide, you're going to spin at this frequency, I'm going to spin at this frequency, and then we're going to merge our frequencies, and maybe two or three or four or more, and something happens?
Yes, however, when you speak about that, you speak about the energies as being decided upon and then carried out. It is more with the Elohim, like the immediate carrying out of the intention. So the decision and the carrying out is together, and they may dream about housing units or different spinningnesses that would end up with different configurations. They may dream about that, but there is usually no time lag or universal lag between the intention and the actual creation of the spinningness. It depends upon their intention.
Now, it's this spinningness between Elohim that is the beginning of physicality. Is that correct?
That is correct. It creates a focusing of the, it creates a shift, movement. And in doing that, it distills the manifestation of the consciousness, the intelligence, the awareness that is then distilled from the all that is.
Now, say for example, something like a galaxy, which is made up of loads of stars and planets. Is the galaxy spun out all at one time, or is it built up from the individual components?
It is both spun out as the original galaxy may be the spinning created by individual or a group of individuals. And then they begin in various areas of condensation to have eddies within, and there is a wave that goes to the center and back. And this wave then we don't want to say ruffles, it creates eddies in as it goes to the center and back, and then to the center and back, it can create crossings of energies which create nodes, which then begin to become the manifestation of gases in condensation of further energies that then begin to move in connection with other gases that have been isolated out and begin to spin with the whole, and then they intersect with further crossings of energy, and soon you have the coordinates for the manifestation of an energy node that can burn brightly and begin to tear off and become a star, and then isolate it out around the star, planetary manifestations.
Thank you. When the Elohim extends these frequencies out to create something like this, does part of them get bound in the creation, or does it get created and they let go of it and they're free of it?
Generally, they let go of it and they're free of it. However, they may have such an intense curiosity of what it's like in certain places there, or what to experience in the center of it or other parts of it. They may then go and be trapped in the energies of it.
Mm-hmm. And once they're trapped, can they get out of that, or are they stuck?
Generally, if their attention span, their span of what they're aware of, if it becomes lesser, then the area within which they're trapped, that's how it becomes, they become trapped. They become lesser than. It is becoming lesser than that creates traps at all levels of existence.
Mm-hmm. So they forget. They can't remember.
Yes.
They have no reference point of how it was.
Their reference points become smaller because they feel lesser than other areas, and so then they become a part of the smaller manifestation.
Mm-hmm. At the point, you talked about the word node. Is the node indicative where two frequencies meet of two Elohim souls or more who are projecting these frequencies?
We were thinking in reference to that, where the galaxy is spinning and the projection has a wave moving to the center of the galaxy and then back from the center of the galaxy. And areas of intersections are what we call nodes. It could be it just waves moving through the galaxy, waves moving through the subatomic particles, waves moving between individuals, creating resistances in non-resistant areas in an interaction between individuals.
Thank you. I think I'm not sure I understand that. Nodes are, could you say that again? Is there a way of saying that in a more simple way?
Nodes are intersections of energies wherein the intersections become a site spooling of the energies, which creates a more of a physical manifestation in many cases.
Mm-hmm. And so it's a very complex, because then there's nodes and there's sub-nodes, and the universe has got planets, star systems, and everything is unfolding really as a cacophony of frequencies.
Yes.
And it's quite complex.
Yes, and each individual awareness has like a homing device, a way of matching frequencies that are their frequency, and they match and attract other frequencies that are of the same frequency. And so this is a mechanism where they place themselves in an arena, an area of manifestation, where they can then experience those frequencies and the results of those frequencies, which may be very good or may not be good, because if they are attracting frequencies that are detrimental, it can make life very hard. And it gives them, by them doing this, the lesson that they need for their next step, which is to move through and on beyond that area of intense manifestation that may not be pleasant.
When they are doing this, do they know exactly how it's going to turn out? Or is there an element of like, wow, look what we just did. Isn't this a surprise?
There's an element of wow, look what we just did. And not all the ramifications are realized.
Mm-hmm.
However, there is an overall guiding principle throughout that the individual awarenesses will move into areas of similar vibrations to where they are have placed themselves in all that is, and then will be able to move in areas in their comfort zone through all of the ramifications of resulting frequencies that they are experiencing in their life experience at that time.
Mm-hmm. Now, humans are microcosms, yes, of all that is. In other words, everything that, how can I say it, the same principles of the universe work for the Elohim as humans, except in a smaller way. For example, when humans are co-creating, are they actually creating spinning frequencies that cause new things to occur?
Well, we answer the first part of what you said first. an individual may not be a replica of the macrocosm because it may be deficient in certain frequencies, which then and overviews which place it where it is.
Mm-hmm.
So there may be missing frequencies within their experience, which then, since they cannot experience full range of frequencies, they have limited their experience to re-experience patterns that they have previously found to be beneficial, but which may not any longer be beneficial to them.
So in other words, let me just clarify this. A human has slotted themselves in into a small subset of the macrocosm, and they exist within that subset. And until they expand out of that subset, their experience is just going to be within the subset, kind of like the Matrix.
Yes.
And that's even true for wanderers or Elohim souls that come into this realm. They find themselves into a contained subset, yes?
Yes, and they do not then look further out or larger than themselves, and so they do not realize the rest of what is there.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. So, for a human, I'm jumping around here, we're going from the beginning of creation to a human, but for a human, their first step is to, sometimes people say, observe yourself. And by observing yourself carefully, you have to move outside of your matrix to watch yourself in the subset of your creation. Is that accurate?
Yes, people get belief systems that they may have picked up when they were small based upon their parents' belief systems and how they were treated when they were small, and then they feel that the world is like that. However, if a person who doesn't realize that they have anything different about them observes other people, a good range of other people, and sees how things go for the other people, and is very perceptive about their own experiences and really takes a good look at their own responses to things and things that ways they respond that may not make total sense in light of what is going on, eventually they can begin to pick up where the areas are that they need to work through. An individual tends to find themselves at the point that they is their next step. The things being thrown at them are the things that they really need to learn and to work through, and it may be frustrating because it doesn't seem like those things should be there, but they can, in observation, then begin to see where their responses are not the ideal responses for the situation.
When we as humans hang out with other people, are the people that we hang out with very important? Because do we tend to reformat ourselves based on the matrices of the people we're around?
Individuals tend to attract people around them that will provide the catalyst necessary for them to move into their next step of growth.
thank you. Because I know everyone on this line that's listening is saying, I want to go to my next step of growth. I want to be bigger than I am. I want to expand into the universe. I want to know God. What should they do?
Realize that you are at the exact right place for your next step of growth. And the things that are you're finding in your daily life coming up against are the things that you need to evaluate, work through, observe, and go beyond the limitations that you're experiencing in your own daily living.
And that's true even if a person is in a daily living zone, which is terribly painful.
Yes.
Is pain there for a reason? Is the pain there for a reason?
The pain will be an indication that there is something that needs to be changed, and that there will be a way through and around and over the pain. The pain is a sign that there is a disconnection. Disconnection in the body, a disconnection with other people, a disconnection with our own desired result, a disconnection with a love of themselves. There is something that's disconnected when there's pain, so the energy is not flowing.
Okay, thank you. And that can be even disease as well, correct?
That is correct. It applies to the body system as well. Mm-hmm. When there's a break in the skin, the skin feels the disconnection, and you feel the pain of the skin and its separation from the flow of energy, and the energy stacks up on both sides of the cut. And can't get through, and back flashes up through the nervous system, and it's a general stoppage of flow of energy.
Okay. Some people ask this question, and it has to do with this idea that we're creating our reality. And we're in our little energy module in the matrix, and you could call that your soul energy, is in there. And it wants to get bigger. It's looking for a ways to get bigger. And it has to go through the next step. And in the best of all worlds, this is like totally self-contained process. But in the worst of all worlds, and this is what I want to ask.
Hey, buddy, new show, not about 2 minutes.
2 minutes? We're going to get off?
Less than that, about a minute.
A minute. Okay, we're going to save this for next time. It's a good question. Would you like to say anything for closing?
We appreciate this opportunity to be with you, and we admire your questions and your looking into things. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And all of you are unmuted. Reminding you, Saturday we're doing a session with Carla Ruckert on the Law of One Made Simple. And we'll see you all next time. And if any of you go gambling, let me know how it works.
Thank you, Rand. Thank you, Terry.
Thanks, Wayne. Thanks, Wayne.
Thank you.
Thanks, Terry.
Thank you, Wayne.
Thank you, Wayne.